Welcome to the Igniting Souls podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner. Carrie believes if you want to experience clarity in business and in life, then discovering who you are, why you're here, and where you're going is a must. The Igniting Souls podcast is dedicated to help you do just this. And now, here's Carrie.
Hey friends, it's Carrie Oberbrunner. Great to be with you today. Hey, listen, we have a fantastic book launch that we are gearing up for today. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to get ready for some absolute gold. And we have Stephen Kotler, who's going to be joining us momentarily. If you are a Stephen Kotler fan, go ahead and type in any books that you've read by him. And if you're new to Stephen Kotler, just type in the word new. And we are going to be giving away some prizes to the most engaged member. And so we're working with our team right now, and we have a whole bunch of fun planned for you in just a moment. But Mike, also what you want to do is get the gift link, because we have a gift for every single person who's going to be here today. And it is hot. So friends and fans, get ready. Let me explain a little bit about flow as we get started. And again, Stephen is right up until book launch release here. So he's been on multiple podcasts, interviews, and we wanted to throw in our own party for him as well. So we cannot wait. But let me tell you a little bit about my journey with flow. And when Stephen pops in, he'll pop in. Okay. So here's my journey. I came up from a faith background where, you know, if you would have told me about flow and the optimal state of human performance, I would have said, what are you talking about? Because let's face it, this is kind of cutting edge. It's kind of new stuff. And a lot of times, if we are not familiar with something, we aren't comfortable with it. So just give me a chat right now, a comment. 10 is that you're an absolute expert in flow. 0 means you have no idea what I'm talking about. Go ahead and type in your number, because this will help as Stephen jumps on and we chat, whether you are seasoned pro or whether you want to know the basics. And sure enough, we have Peter here who says he's read pretty much all of Stephen's books, Superman, The Rise of Superman, Stealing Fire, Tomorrowland. And we have other people, Gabriel, congratulations. We have people in here from people who've met Stephen through Mind Valley. Lots of sixes we're seeing. We got some fives. We have some fours. And hey, Brian says he's done extensive research. I'm kind of with Brian. I started out as a 0. I didn't know one thing about flow, but I've done a lot of research. But certainly you're getting an absolute 10 with Stephen. He's known as the grandfather of flow. I mean, he's not that old, but Mihai Csikszentmihalyi, which is a Hungarian, kind of popularized the term flow. But here's what it is, folks. It's the optimal state of human performance, flow. And it's incredibly powerful. It's dangerous because you can take anything and you can take it to the extreme. But with Stephen, and by the way, the crowd keeps growing. So folks, thanks so much for sharing. Thanks for tagging, friends. Here's why I think flow is needed to talk about today. We live in a world right now where in 2020 and 2021, we've gotten hacked, and many of us are not getting in flow. Now, think about this for a moment. Because we're not getting in flow, mental illness is on the rise. Mental health is suffering. And Stephen's going to share how flow and mental health actually are integrated. So think about that. I don't know if anyone's ever said that before. But maybe, just maybe, mental illness, mental health is on the rise during the pandemic because we're not getting into flow. I got an advanced copy of Stephen's new book, The Art of Impossible. And let me tell you what, folks, it is gold. He calls it the primer, the primer. This is good for everyone to get the basics on flow. So the team just told me Stephen's on his way, and we're going to get started here in a moment. If you want to be seen for the book prizes that we're giving away, by the way, we're giving away signed copies of Tomorrowland. And here's Stephen, and we'll bring him right on. Awesome.
Hi, Carrie. Super sorry.
Hey, no worries, man. We're just having fun. You got a bunch of fans here and friends, and I've just been teeing you up well. So thanks for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. Well, listen, let's jump right into it. We already started by saying that, do you think mental health is suffering right now in this time period that we live because people aren't getting into flow as much? In other words, how tied is flow?
Yeah, it's just mental health. I actually came from this exact conversation.
Are you serious?
It's on a lot of people's minds. It's a really great question. And so one, I'm a real science-based guy. I don't have data. So no data. This is me speaking without data, without anything. But this is one thing we know is that, so flow states have triggers, preconditions that lead to more flow. Most famous of them is the challenge skills balance. It's often called the golden rule of flow. The idea here, all of flow's triggers, flow only happens when our attention is in the right here, right now. So that's what the triggers do. They drive our attention to the present moment, right? And we pay the most attention to the present moment, to the task at hand, when the challenge of that task slightly exceeds our skill set. So you want to stretch, but not snap. If I were to explain that emotionally, I'd say flow is not on, but very near the midpoint between boredom, there's not enough stimulation here, I'm not paying any attention, and anxiety, whoa, way too much stimulation, right? In between is what's known as the flow channel. And it's right outside your comfort zone. So you have to push yourself harder than you would normally be comfortable with, but not too hard. The problem is, when we're hyper anxious neurobiologically, that's a lot of cortisol and a lot of norepinephrine, which is how this gets measured. How does the challenge skills balance get measured in the brain? One of the big ways is how much norepinephrine is in the system. Too much norepinephrine blocks flow. So one, everybody who's running hot, and most of us are, right? It's been a hell of a year. That anxiety is a problem. So one, if you want more flow in your life, you're going to have to take outside steps to sort of curb anxiety, to lower anxiety. The second half is, so, and this is where, this is sort of like the actionable portion of this equation, I guess, is everybody has what we call a primary flow activity. This is whatever thing you've done throughout your life that just drops you into the zone really easily, right?
We just get stuck in. Cycling for me, skiing for me.
Exactly. Maybe it was horseback riding, giving speeches, playing chess, gardening, walking your dog, playing in nature, whatever it is, there's this thing that you did that, or you've done throughout the course of your life that dropped you into flow. Now, one of the problems in adulthood, just period adulthood, is we get lives and wives and things that matter, right? Spouses and kids and jobs, and we have to put away childish things. We put away the skateboard and the surfboard, and I've got responsibilities now, and that's a fucking performance disaster. And here's why. One, as we move into flow, there is a global release in the body of nitric oxide. It's a gas signaling molecule. It's everywhere in every cell in the body, and it flushes all the stress hormones out of your system automatically, right? And replaces them with some of the positive feel-good neurochemicals that underpin flow. But when you're hypervigilant, when you're running around hot and you, right, this is something that, you know, is going to not just, you know, is flow is essentially a focusing skill, right? And it's in the way that mindfulness, breath work is a focusing skill, different things happening in the brain, but similar in that practice makes perfect. So if you go skiing on Monday or you go cycling on Monday and drop into flow, and then you go to work on Tuesday or Wednesday or Thursday, your chances of getting into flow at work are much greater because you've practiced the focusing skill. Third thing, not my work. Part of this is our work. So flow massively amplifies creative problem solving. 400 to 700%, depending on whose numbers you're looking at, whose studies you're looking at. But Teresa Amable at Harvard figured out that heightened creativity will outlast the flow state by a day, maybe two. So if you are hypervigilant, running hot, looking to sort of, how do I reboot my career after getting my ass kicked, or how do I blah, 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 you need creative problem solving, right? Really important. And so flow is going to reset your nervous system. It's going to calm you down. It's going to give you better chances of getting into flow at other times, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a big bonus. And this is, you know, in the art of impossible, in all the work that I do, I always tell people, I work with peak performers as a general rule, like, you know, top 10% who want to become top 1% kind of thing. Peak performers are too busy to solve problems one at a time. They're just too busy. So what I look for is multi-tool solutions. I want one solution that's going to solve four or five problems at once. So doubling down on your primary flow activity may feel like a waste of time, a guilty pleasure, whatever it is, right? You're totally wrong. By the way, you have to put down that guilt, because that guilt is going to create too much anxiety. It's going to end up blocking flow. And then you're going to waste your time going cycling and not get into flow. And now you've actually wasted your time, right?
Wow. So
you got to put down the guilt.
Yeah.
But this is a multi-tool solution. It's going to calm your nervous system down, amplify creativity, train up your ability to get into flow over time, because flow, because the neurochemicals that underpin flow also boost the immune system a little bit, you're ending up healthier as a result over time with this. And I can keep going. So there's a lot of stuff here.
This is great. So here's what I want to do, folks. Stephen is a massive expert on this. I don't know if you know this, Stephen, but I enrolled in Flow Fundamentals way back when you first did that. But
that was not a good class.
We did not know what we were doing. But I appreciate that. And I've done Zero to Dangerous, and Rian, you know, endorsed my book, and he spoke at our event. And then we're just introducing you to our crowd. But folks, I want you to hear the backstory in a moment. But let me say this first of all. The reason why I'm doing this is because I feel indebted to Stephen. I found his book, Rise of Superman, at a time in my life where I wanted more out of life. I knew that I wasn't living a life of optimal human performance. And when I read Rise, which, you know, you can talk about in a moment, but it just changed my life, because there's this whole other world that I wasn't tapping into. And here's what we're going to do, folks. The most active, engaged person, the person who's tagging people today, the person who's sharing this, we have signed copies of Rise of Superman. We're going to give away two signed copies. Anne on your team is fantastic. She's grateful enough to send us those. So if you want a copy of Rise, not only are we going to be pushing Stephen's new book today, it's fantastic. I've read the pre-copy. But I want you to tell us why you want Rise. Tell us why you want Rise. What is flow going to help you do in your life? Stephen, do you mind sharing? I know you had Lyme's disease and you were done with life from everything that I read on this topic. You were done with life. You were at your very end. And then tell us that story, if you don't mind, about surfing. Because I feel like, wow, there's some people right now who might need to hear that.
So I was 30 years old, got Lyme disease. And as you pointed, I lost everything, right? Like, went bankrupt, lost the job I spent a decade trying to get, lost the girl I thought I was going to marry, blah, 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 all of it gone. And I wasn't getting any better. I was in bed for 3 years. I couldn't walk across a room. Lyme is really bad in your brain. So I lost my short-term memory. I lost my long-term memory. I still, if I met you before I was 30 years old, I don't remember you. Literally, it's gone. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And after 3 years of it, the doctors pulled me off meds. There was nothing else they could do. My stomach lining started bleeding out in reaction to the medicine, and nobody knew if I was ever going to get any better. And I was, as you pointed out, I was done. I was going to kill myself. And it was really within a couple of weeks, really. It wasn't even depression. It was just, I was just going to be a burden from that point on. I could not care for myself. I was able to be functional about 20 minutes a day.
So your usefulness was gone.
I'm gone. And all I'm going to be is a burden to my friends, my family for the rest of my life. And it just seemed, I'm a very practical guy. It just seemed like the practical thing to do. And a friend of mine showed up at my house. This was in Los Angeles, actually, in my apartment, lost the house, showed up my apartment and demanded that we go surfing. And it was ridiculous. I couldn't walk across the room. I couldn't go surfing. I'd been surfing in 5 years. She wouldn't leave. She just was insistent and wouldn't leave. And after hours of this, I was like, you know what? Like, I can kill myself tomorrow. Let's go surfing today. Like, what's the worst that can happen, right? And they literally, her and one of my neighbors carried me to the car, put me in the backseat of the car. Well, they drove me to Sunset Beach in Los Angeles. If you know anything about surfing in LA, Sunset Beach is the wimpiest beginner wave in the world. And they took me by the arms and walked me out to the break. It, the tide was low, so you literally could walk out there, and they had to almost carry me out. And they put me on a board the size of a Cadillac, and you know, I was just sort of floating out there. A minute later, a wave came. It was very tiny. It was like a 2-foot wave, and muscle memory took over. Like, I saw the wave and I was like, oh, I know what to do. And I spun the board around and paddled twice and popped to my feet. It was probably all the energy I had for the entire month, right? Like, that, I just like, I was captivated by the wave. I did it. I popped to my feet and I popped up into a dimension I didn't know existed, right? Time immediately had slowed to an absolute crawl. I felt like I had panoramic vision, like I could see out of the back of my head. But the weirdest part about the whole experience was I felt physically and mentally great. I mean, my body felt amazing. My brain was clear. I was surfing well. None of it made any sense, but it felt so damn good. And the altered state was so powerful. I caught 5 more waves, and then they drove me home, put me into bed. And I was so destroyed. I couldn't move. Couldn't even walk to my kitchen to like cook a meal. People brought me food for like 2 weeks. And on the 15th day, which is the day I could walk again, I was so compelled by this first experience that I went back to the ocean and I did it again. And same powerful altered state, et cetera, et cetera. And after about 6 to 8 months of this, I went from 10% functional up to about 80% functional. And I wanted to know what the hell was going on, right? Like, sure. Surfing is not a known cure for chronic autoimmune conditions. And, you know, on top of that, Lyme is only fatal if it gets into your brain. I'm a science guy. I don't have mystical experiences, right? And I really don't have them while surfing. So I was pretty sure, even though you're feeling better, the disease has got to be in your brain. Like, there's no possible way. Like, you're dying and you just don't know it. And so I lit out on a giant quest to figure out what the hell was going on with me. Quickly figured out, holy crap, these states of consciousness have names, flow. And very quickly, and I just mentioned this a second ago, this is not my work. This is Herb Benson's work at Harvard. He sort of mapped some of the neurobiology underneath flow. And he pointed out that the nervous system gets reset in flow. This is a really big deal. Autoimmune conditions and nervous system gone haywire. So even after the condition, like the illness itself is gone, your body doesn't know where normal is. It can't return to homeostasis because it doesn't have a memory of what normal is. So okay. When you flush all the stress hormones out of your system, it resets the nervous system and says, this is normal. This is baseline. So it calms it down. Similarly, these chemicals boost the immune system. And Herb Benson has gone so far as to say, he thinks many of the so-called cases of spontaneous healing is actually this mechanism. And wow. Herb did his work in the 90s, and there's now been 20 years of psychoimmunology and neuroimmunology that backs up a lot of this and takes it a lot farther. Really interesting. That was what happened to me. And what happened with the rest of my career is I very quickly figured out that the same state that helped me go from seriously subpar back to normal was helping normal people go all the way up to Superman. And that's where I put my attention, right? On the second half of the equation, rather than on the like curing trauma stuff. And there's work that's been done on flow and trauma and things like that. It's just not the work I do. I'm interested in how do you use this to amplify performance?
Man, that is so good. Listen, we have a lot of authors here today, and a lot of these people are, you know, fans of your work. We're going to give away our first copy, and I think this story is so powerful. So Linda says, I would love Rise because I could give it to my daughter who is shelterless, who suffers from drug abuse disorder and is in an abusive relationship, who is losing everything. So Michael from Montreal, let's get Linda's address and let's get a copy to her. Stephen, can flow help people? Like you said, I mean, it helps successful people kind of move up to Superman or Superwoman. Can it help people that are using drugs? Are they mimicking neurochemicals? Because I know some of your work says that drug use is almost trying to mimic what neurochemicals produce naturally. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So I want to, like, this is really outside of what I do. I have almost no expertise here. And I am very cautious when I wade into these waters. So like, okay. I try very hard to stay in my lane. I don't have deep expertise here. What I can tell you is there are a number of treatment facilities in America for drug abuse that use action sports. outdoor activities and action sports, which is a trigger for flow, as a way to try to override drug abuse. And as a general rule, flow is more powerful than a lot of drugs. So flow gives us access to our internal neurochemistry. Let me give you a simple example. A lot of people are dealing with opiate addiction right now. That's a big problem. Internal version of opiates are endorphins. You got about 20 different endorphins in the brain, the most common of which is 100 times more potent than medical morphine. So our internal drugs are better than the external drugs. Often
wow.
The brain can cocktail the internal drugs in ways literally. So flow, if you were to talk about it, you get norepinephrine, that's speed. You get dopamine, that's cocaine. You get serotonin, that's either MDMA or LSD, depending on the pathway the chemical takes in the brain. You get anandamide, that's THC. And what did I leave out? You get endorphins, right? Which are opiates.
Wow.
If you were to take those street drugs and try to cocktail them, you're going to end up dead or in a coma. It doesn't work. In fact, on a street level, you can't take cocaine and any of the serotonin drugs, the MDMA, LSD, that kind of stuff, because the cocaine, the dopamine and drug will swamp the others and you won't get the effects of the others. You'll mostly get the coke. The brain can actually cocktail these chemicals naturally. It's a better high. So sure. There has been some success overlaying drug abuse but it also, this is complicated, you know, and this is, again, beyond my expertise, but it often, like, drug abuse is this, what drugs? What sure. are you know what I mean? Because sure. some of them are probably, you know, chasing flow-like experiences, and some of them are just trying to hide from the pain of life, and those yes. are different things.
Yes, yes. Well, one of the things I want to talk about, and by the way, this is fascinating. I love it. So, folks, I'm going to ask our team to drop in the link for Stephen's new book, because to me, this is the primer, and I think that's even the subtitle. It's kind of like it gets you into the conversation. So in some of Stephen's books, I mean, he goes really deep with altered states in Stealing Fire and these other books. But I loved The Art of Impossible because it was so solid as a foundation. You're going to build upon a foundation. So here's what Stephen's team has offered. And I know, folks, we got a lot of writers, and I'm only going to allow 15 people to get this, okay? So everybody today who pre-orders a book, Stephen's new book, and by the way, I'm just going to show it here because it's super powerful. It's on Amazon right now. And Stephen, I know you could care less about selling, but I care because I'm an author, and you're already a number one new release.
Yeah, number, but in mate seeking, by the
but
way.
But that's okay.
I find very interesting.
But that's okay. I mean, the whole algorithm has to work out. Here,
I don't even know what mate seeking is.
I don't know either, but evidently you can get in the flow when mate seeking. But the book is doing fantastic already. Monday is the big, I think Monday, maybe Tuesday, whatever January 19th is. That Tuesday, that's the big, big day. But folks, you got to get this book. It's $14.99 on Kindle. I've already pre-ordered it. I'm not logged in right now, but I've pre-ordered it on audiobook. But Stephen, what you're doing, I mean, is ridiculous. You're giving over $1,500 worth of bonuses. And I'll show you the screen here in a moment so you can talk us through those bonuses. But then for people who get 15 copies, you're including flow for writers. And folks, I've taken Zero to Dangerous. It is killer. I mean, it literally is a master's level course, I felt, on flow. But let's talk a little bit about some of these bonuses that people get. I'll bring up the page so we can walk through it. But what is that? Bonuses that you get, Stephen? Do you remember?
Yeah, for Art Impossible, are you asking me about what's Flow for Writers about?
I'll tell you what, let's first talk about what everybody gets for pre-ordering one copy, and then 15 people, the first 15 who order 15 are going to get this crazy several $1,000 course included, which is so gracious of you. But yeah, let's talk right now about.
So you have the list in front of you. I'm sure I'm going to leave something out. We're most importantly, we're giving away Distraction Disruptor. So I, you know, at the Flow Research Collective, we're flow research and tramp peak performance research and training organization. We train about 1,000 people a month. I think we're the largest neuroscience based peak performance training organization in the world. And we have these are a couple of the courses that we use to augment our normal courses. So one is on distraction disruptor. Flow requires focus. So it requires really robust distraction management processes. And that's what distraction disruptor is. It's a week long deep dive in how to really, really nail focus, right? That's distraction disruptor. You also are going to get, people have been wanting these forever and I haven't ever done it, but outtakes from The Rise of Superman. So there were a bunch of stories that I wanted to put in Rise that didn't make it in there. And a bunch of really cool flow science that didn't make it in there, mostly because my editor got to a certain point and she was like, enough with the goddamn action sports stories, Steven. We don't care. And I was like, okay, you win. But they're great. So there's some cool stuff there and some really great research that just couldn't get into the Art of Impossible because it didn't really fit, but it's really good peak performance research. We're also giving away this goal setting masterclass and a goal setting workbook. Really, you know, goal setting is an amazing, like if you can correctly set, for example, what are called, there are three tiers of goals that biologically were designed to set sort of like mission level goals for your life, right? I want to be the greatest author in the history of the universe. That's a mission level goal. A high hard goal is I want to get a degree in journalism. I want to get a job on a newspaper to learn how to be a reporter. I want to write a book on politics or a book on apple pie and a book, you know, those are high hard goals. They're like 1 to 5 year goals. And then there are clear goals, daily to-do lists that feed into those. But a correctly set high hard goal will give you an 11 to 25% boost in motivation. Simply for setting a proper goal. That's if an 8-hour day is your baseline, that's 2 free hours of work just for having the right proper goal. That's wow. Incredible, right? So goal setting really matters to getting shit done. These are really good books. And the other thing that we're giving away is the Action Sports panel. And this may not sound like a big deal, and it is. It's the coolest thing we're giving away. And the reason is this. It's Chris Malloy, Chris Davenport, myself, a guy named Micah Abrams, who helped start about 6 or 7 different action sport magazines and was the head of action sports for ESPN for a very long time. And Rebecca Rausch, who is they call her the Queen of Pain, right? Okay. The winningest endurance athlete of all time. And what we're going to be discussing is the 1990s era in action sports, which is often talked about as the era of impossible, where more impossible feats got done than ever before. And there are so many crazy, what's interesting about this era is we had no idea where the limits were, right? Like it was like suddenly the level just kept going up and up and up and up and nobody knew what was going on. And the inside stories and the culture that produced it is not what you think it was at all. It's a lot rowdier. It's a lot more punk rock. It's a lot more irreverent. It doesn't actually make this was what caught my attention about action sports in the early 1990s. This is where the question of what does it take to do the impossible first came from was, yes, these athletes were doing the impossible on a regular basis, right? Surfing went from the biggest wave anybody ever surfed was 25 feet at the start of the decade. It was 100 feet by the end of the decade, right? That kind of stuff over and over in every sport. And okay, so you're not into sports. Why do you care? The reason you care is action sport athletes in the 1990s were like irreverent punk rock subculture. These are people, they were my close friends. I was in these worlds. Most of them came from exceptionally broken homes, very bad childhoods. They had very little money. They had very little education. There was incredible amounts of drinking, drug abuse, and risk-taking. Now, if I normally put those things together in combination, you say this group of people is going to jail. They're going to die young.
Yes.
And you don't think, okay, this is the group of people that are going to redefine the limits of human possibility over and over and over and again. So one of the things that, you know, I found out very early on is, you know, a great many of the people who have accomplished the most extraordinary things we know of, almost none of them started out extraordinary. They start out just like you and me. And there's a formula that gets you from A to B. There really is. And These athletes were like, people hold them up as like paradigms of athletic achievement, and they've become that. But where they came from and how they got there is amazing.
That's so good. That's so good. People are shocked, by the way. They're saying, are you serious? I get all of these bonuses.
Let me speak to that for a second. I was part of the group of authors along with Tim Ferriss and a handful of other people who sort of invented the pre-sale campaign.
Yeah.
And my whole life, I have sort of felt like most people aren't giving away anything worth a damn in pre-sale campaigns. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's just,
here's my whatever.
And they put a pretty cover on it. And it really sort of mattered to me. Like, you're helping me out by buying a book early. You really are. And I appreciate it. I wanted to make a campaign that was actually worth a damn. And we also, with this one, this is a book about how do you level up your game, right? Yes. Anybody can use it to significantly improve their performance, but we also wanted to make sure like it was going to happen, right? I really want people like this. There's a purpose here. And so we wanted to give you all the stuff that would make the book even more potent.
It's so good. Yeah, I've dialed into you now for years, and the reason why is because I know that if I'm 10% more productive, I can ignite more souls, and that's my mission in life is igniting souls. But we're not talking 10%. I mean, you show with the McKinsey & Company article that isn't it 500%?
So the number, I mean, you're right, but what I always say so McKinsey looked at top executives. And they went around the world for about a decade and asked top executives how much more productive they felt in flow. So why I was waving my hands is it's self-reported, right? So you got a little bit of a caveat with anything self-reported. That said, that's a lot of people. On the average, was 500% more productive in flow. And what makes that number more believable, at least in my opinion, is that we do have hard data on all the other things flow amplifies. So the Department of Defense found that learning accelerates 240 to about 500% in flow. Creativity, creative problem, a lot of the writing skills that you need will go up. And this is work we did, done at Harvard, done at the University of Sydney, done a couple other places. So there's creativity, it'll spike 400 to 700%. You get spikes in cooperation, collaboration, grit goes up as well, et cetera, et cetera. So huge, huge, huge spikes that are in line with the productivity boost. So it's probably more real than not. And as you pointed out, like, this is a huge deal. This is what happens when you get your biology to work for you rather than against you. We're actually all designed. This is flow, right? Flow is optimal performance, but it's universal. Anybody listening to this, every human being, and most mammals for that matter, can get into flow. So it's a universal, and we're all hardwired for these exceptional levels of performance. And it's just knowing sort of how the system works and how you can get it to work for you.
So good. So folks, I see some questions, and I know my team's answering, as well as some of Steven's team. We have somebody just bought 11 copies. Now, here's the thing. If you get 15 copies, so let's say you're thinking of, hey, graduation gifts coming up or something like this. If you get 15 copies, you're not only going to get all the bonuses, but you're going to get just the first 15 people who buy 15 copies are going to get Flow for Writers. Talk about this, because let me tell you what, you are a Pulitzer Prize nominee. I mean, you've done award-winning journalism. You know how to get into flow. You're speaking to authors. I'm a publisher. I'm an author too. What would people get from this course that normally costs thousands of dollars, and they're going to get it?
Yeah, I think it's a $5,000 course or a $4,000 course normally. It was so, it's funny, since we're all authors. So Neil Strauss, another kind of New York Times bestselling author, 10 years ago, I want to say, Neil and I were talking about all the like tips and techniques and tricks, everything we sort of use to build our careers as writers. And after the conversation was over, I was sort of like, Neil's just sort of forgot about it, but it just stayed with me. And I kept working on it and working on it and working on it. And I got to like a suite of stuff that, and I realized, like, one, if somebody would have told me this stuff 10 years earlier, I would have added a zero to my income. Like it would have gone up, right? It was a big, I was like, holy crap, it would have saved years, added a zero to my income. And I turned it into a class, which I did live for years. Said I would never turn it into a digital class because I thought it had to be a live experience. It's a four-part class. It's one part is on like the actual craft of writing itself. And I cover everything from here's how you interview a subject. Here's how you structure a book. Here's how you steal a style and develop a style. Everything that goes into it, all of it's covered. I also talk about the business of writing, the marketing. What does it take to build a bestseller? I built, you know, 9 of my 13 books have been bestsellers. Mm-hmm. None of that is accidental, right? All of that was a system, was a thing. We talk about that. Then the second half of the course is, how's the neuroscience of creativity, right? Mm-hmm. We're all writers. Like, what you're using the creative portions of the brain. So how does it work? How do we get more creativity? And finally, there's flow. How do you turbo boost all this stuff with flow? How do you get more flow in your life? How do you really use it to amplify your writing? And
it's crazy.
The coolest thing is this, Carrie. It goes farther than that because at the start of COVID, we had to digitize it like everybody else. And it turned out my reluctance to make this class digital. I mean, for years I was screaming at my staff, fuck you, this is a bad idea. No, no, no. It turns out it was the smartest thing we've ever done because instead of getting 2 days worth of material, you get, I think we did, it's almost like 30 or 40 hours. It's so much content at this point. It's unbelievable.
So folks, I want you to listen up here because we have some people that are just really amped and they're rushing to get the 15. So here's what we have. We have links. We have the pre-order link right here, which is for one copy. And with one copy, you're going to get over $1,500 of bonuses. And yes, you can redeem that, I believe, even with audio. I think I did audiobook, I pre-ordered, but you're basically validating that you pre-ordered the book. And we want to help Stephen get bestseller, and he's got a great team. And so he's been very close to that. Also then, for those of you who want to get 15 copies and give them away to friends, clients, graduation presents, you're going to get a several $1,000 course. And I know some people who've paid that and it's worth every dime. But you're going to get that just for getting 15 copies. So, you know, even if you give 14 of them away, you're going to be a hero to those people. But then you're also going to get this bonus on top of the other $1,500 worth, which is the flow for writers. So, Stephen, what is your big mission with this book? I mean, you know, you've brought flow to the world. Yeah, what do you got?
It's interesting that you say that because so here, honest to God truth on this one. I have spent my life in every domain imaginable, right? Reporting on covering those moments in time when the impossible became possible, when science fiction ideas became science fact technology, right? When the world's first artificial vision implant, the first time a blind guy could see again, I was in that room. First private spaceship launch, I was, on and on and on. Did it in all these domains, you know, looking at kind of these places when the impossible became possible and writing about what I discovered, right? But I only wrote about the winners. I wrote about, right? For every one person I wrote about, there were hundreds of people I met who literally had world-changing kind of capabilities, world-changing ideas, and the world really could use some help at this point, right? And they had this, and they, over and over again, especially because I did some work with Peter D. Mattis at Singularity University, where people are really going after global challenges, hunger, poverty, energy scarcity, those kinds of things we really need to solve. And over again, I was noticing the same thing. It wasn't the entrepreneurial challenges that were tripping people up. It really wasn't the business side, the raising the money, the stuff that I would have thought tripped people up. It was the simple human performance stuff. The Art Impossible is a book that teaches anybody how to significantly level up their game. But I wrote it, and it was a hard book to write. It's a big think peak performance. It's a big think how to. Nobody's ever done that before. You know what and there's a reason. It's a crazy hard thing to try to do well. But it's
more difficult to simplify than it is to expound. Like, you took a crazy concept and made it simple.
And it's really, yeah. And it was slow going to get it right. And I stuck with it because I just got tired of watching people with world-changing potential trip over their own feet, in all honesty. Oh, so like, if you want to, if those 15 books are interesting to you, think about it this way. Think about anybody in your life who you love, who could actually make a dent in the universe, maybe write a killer book that people would really love, or maybe actually solve a problem we need solving, who yep. just can't get out of their own way. That's who this book is for. So that's who you can be giving it away to.
That's so good. Listen, I've, you know, I'm just a big fan of what you're doing. You're literally bringing a performance element to science. I like how you're blending. You also write with, you write about, you know, dogs, you write about fiction with the Tango book. What's, you know, I've read that you're an agnostic, and this, or at least you're familiar with that. Now, I'm the complete opposite, but that's okay. I'm learning a ton from you, and I'm teachable. So what would you say to a person who, you know, and maybe, I'm sure interviewers don't ask you this, but I'm going to. What would you say if someone's a person of faith? Can they still reconcile science and flow?
Oh, yeah. So I just want to – so my first mentor in this work was a neuroscientist named Dr. Andrew Huberman. Dr. Andrew Newberg. My God. Okay. Andrew Huberman's a friend of mine. we work with him. But no, Dr. Andrew Newberg, who was then at the University of Pennsylvania, now and Andrew's work was using SPECT scan, early fMRI brain imaging, to look at the brains of both Tibetan Buddhists and Franciscan nuns during meditation. And he was interested in this question of oneness with everything, right? In both traditions, the nuns talk about unia mystica, oneness with God's love, and oneness with Jesus. And the Buddhists, absolute unitary being, oneness with the universe, right? Oneness with consciousness. And Andrew wanted to know what's going on in the brain. I got in touch with Andrew about this because in flow, this is really, you know, this from cycling, you become one with the road or one with the bicycle, or surfers become one with the wave. This is very common. And so Andrew was doing the work on what's causing this in the brain. And Andrew said this to me, and I totally agreed, and I've never wavered from this since. I personally am agnostic, meaning I don't know, and I like the mystery. Personally, I like the mystery. I'm totally cool with the I don't know. But Andrew's point, and it's really important, is none of the work that I do, none of the biology tells you anything about the why, right? All, like, if there's no God, then we are biologically hardwired to have experiences that we would call spiritual, and that at least demands an explanation. But I think personally, and I've always said this, that I think it's actually, even though I'm an agnostic who leans towards atheist, I think the weight, the evidence is actually on the other side, because what this is just saying is if there is a God, if there is a greater whatever, we are biologically hardwired for communication with that. You know what I mean? Like, we are God just works through the biology, and that's just as much. Like, you can't, the biology, the fact that we're wired for this experience doesn't tell you anything. Is there God? Isn't there God? Like, nobody knows. And I personally, that's not my fight. It's not my argument. That's why I like the mystery. I mean, when you go into deeply religious communities, for example, a lot of communities, Pentecostal, very deeply Christian communities, all the evangelical traditions, flow is the Holy Ghost. So you have to really, like, when, for example, we do a lot of work in disadvantaged communities in the South, very Baptist, very African American, right? We have to, like, people grew up in communities where, like, the experience of flow is the exact same experience of the Holy Ghost. Brian, by the way, you just pointed out that oxytocin is missing from the discussion of flow. It's not. Oxytocin is not produced in flow. It is produced in group flow by the fact that there are other people in the room, but individual flow, there is zero proof that oxytocin shows up. In fact, Paul Zak, who's the world's leading expert on oxytocin, and a good friend of mine, and I just had this discussion. where we were talking about this not too long ago. And he does a lot of work measuring flow, dopamine, oxytocin, these kinds of things. So good point. Shows up in group flow, doesn't show up in individual flow. And I took your spirit right into biology.
This is fascinating. I mean, oh my gosh, I my brain's going. Like, I even want to say, listen, did we see let's go there, Stephen, did we see a negative form of group flow with the capital?
So I am going to say that I stay very far outside of politics.
And we can,
but if you got to understand one thing.
Yeah.
So the earliest work in the Western canon on flow was done by Goethe and Nietzsche. And Goethe had a word for flow, Rausch. This is our earliest term. It's the overflowing, the overwhelming flowing joy. And what were they trying to analyze? What were they looking at? Where did that come from? Dionysian festivals. Like basically the early version that became Oktoberfest, a bunch of people getting fucked up together and like what happens at Burning Man, et cetera.
Burning Man, yeah, yeah.
That's what they were looking at. My point is that rioting, looting, crime, these are high flow experiences. Flow is morally neutral. There's no anti-flow or flow. So in fact, Naval Hariri, who we all know from Sapiens and blanking his other book, he wrote a paper in 2008 on flow and war. If you go back to the 1950s and you want to look at flow research in the 50s, most of it's about war and soldiers. Navy SEALs still use flow, right, as like core to their training. It's very, you know, flow's very foundational, but it's a tool. It's morally neutral. You can use flow for good. You can use flow for ill. So you can't call it anti-flow, but like we're the protesters in flow. Well, what are some of the there's, you know, flow is great for a lot of stuff. It's terrible for certain things, right? Don't ever go shopping in a flow state. Pattern recognition is massively amplified. You'll buy everything because you're going to get it home and you're going to like, you'll be in flow. You'll be at the mall. You'll be like, my decision to single-handedly reinvent 70s disco polyester fashion. It seems like a great idea. You're going to get it home and you'll be out of flow. You'll be like, what did I just do?
Right.
At the Flow Research Collective, we think we try very, very hard. For example, it's common and not really in the neuroscience-based space, but in coaching and peak performance, you see a lot of people who will try to put people into flow states or trance states and then upsell them into another course. That's really common. Right here, come walk on these fire coals and then here's my $10,000 training, right? Don't that make you feel like Superman? Well, here's the problem with that. It's morally irresponsible at best. Let's just put it that way. Why? When we're in flow, risk-taking goes through the roof and long-term planning is shut down.
Interesting.
So literally, the part of your brain that would say, hey, don't spend that $10,000, you got to pay rent for the next 6 months, is turned off. The part of your brain that, you know, is really risky is turned way up. It's morally problematic to me in that situation. So flow can be used for good or for ill.
That's so good. That's
And don't kid yourself, by the way. Depending on where you stand on video games are super addictive because flow is super addictive and video games are designed to draw people into flow. It's a low grade flow state. And it's may not be a complete flow state, but it's a pretty goddamn close mimic. They use the flow triggers to design good video games, and they know as a marker of sales, the games that produce the most flow sell the best. And by the way, as authors, I also want you to understand this. Good writing drives readers into flow. Chicken and I, Godfather Flow Psychology, pointed this out years ago. One of the most common experiences on the planet of flow is reading. And don't kid yourself. I write my books in such a way as I want to produce flow in my readers. Like, I know what I'm doing, and I know how to do this with neurochemicals. I'll give you an example.
This is so good. This is good.
If you want to drive focus and attention in a reader, for example, focus and attention are underpinned by two neurochemicals, norepinephrine and dopamine. Right? These are the two main drivers of focus and attention. They're excitement when they're in body. A little bit, it feels like curiosity. So if you've ever read a thriller and you get to the end of a chapter and you have to turn the next page, it's because they used what I would call a norepinephrine close. A norepinephrine close is a way of, I'll give you a simple example from Last Tango in Cyberspace because it's the cheapest one I've ever done. Okay. This is how you do it when you really like, you don't know what else to do and you need to get the readers turning the pages. So my character's name was Lion Zorn, and I have a thing where he gets a messenger, gives him an envelope, and he takes it up to his hotel room and he's falling asleep. And as he's falling asleep, last line of the chapter, the voice in his head says something like, don't open that envelope, but he's asleep before it can register, right? And that's how the chapter ends. Don't open that envelope. Of course, everybody's brain goes, what the hell's in that envelope,
right?
You just produced norepinephrine, right? I just drove a little focus, and I've driven you closer to flow. I've heightened your focus. If I can create dopamine, anytime you tell a joke in writing or I have a surprise, you're creating dopamine. And when you get dopamine and norepinephrine, but especially dopamine, it enhances signal-to-noise ratios, meaning pattern recognition.
Yes.
In other words, if you get dopamine and norepinephrine flowing in your reader, you're making them smarter. So if I have to teach really hard concepts in some of my books, I prime people into heightened pattern recognition ahead of time because they're going to find faster connections between my stuff. So one of the reasons people often say, oh, you're so good at communicating hard ideas – well, and I learned so much. Yes, but what I'm really good at is putting you into low-grade flow states so you're better at learning my hard ideas.
Wow. So I would argue
that stuff, that's flow for writer stuff, but some of that stuff is also an art of impossible because it's all the same systems.
That's why Adam says that's why we should get flow for writers. I would even say that the movie Inception, which is like building, right? It's building layers and dropping those Easter egg clues. I mean, is that part of flow too? Like even good movie script?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's interesting because we don't know. This is one of the remaining puzzles, and there's a line between like engagement, absorption, immersion, and flow, right? It's a spectrum of experiences. Like I'm getting drawn deeper and deeper and deeper into the thing that I'm doing. So nobody's quite sure like, where's the line between a movie and a flow experience? And I will tell you, one thing is we know is flow is usually, they have what's called non-directed flow, right? Like I'm reading a book and I'm just in flow, or I went to a movies and I'm in flow. It's not serving a purpose. And I'm not 100% certain that's true, because when I'm in flow at movies, like maybe I'm lost in the movie during the movie, but it always leads to really heightened creativity right on the back end. Right, there's that refractory period. And I always say the best movies for me, the highest flow movies, for example, big Hollywood blockbusters with lots of explosions feel flowy, but they're not real flow experiences, by the way.
Right. I always
say that like the movies that to me are flowiest are movies like, there's a bunch of thrillers from the 70s I love, like All the President's Men, 3 Days of the Condor, and they're slightly quieter. And you're sort of caught up, but there's room to think on the side of your brain.
Yeah.
And that sort of feels like a much flowier experience to me. But this is an open question. Where is the line between flow and immersion? And how do you, especially in this kind of passive situation?
Yeah. That's so good. So listen, folks, I promised Stephen that we'd get him off 5 minutes too, because he's got you're just on fire, man. You're doing all kinds
don't
of
interviews. Don't remind me of what's ahead of me, because I was having fun talking to you.
You're in flow. You're in flow. Yeah. But here's the thing, folks. Some people are saying that, is the 15 purchased done yet? No, you can grab it. And you're saying on the bulk link, there's no 15. That's okay. If you get the single copy, 15 of those, this is a special bonus.
I just did it for our receipts, or right.
Yeah, you just did it for our crew, because you know we're writers, and flow for writers. I mean, it's amazing. It'll help you. What do you want to say as we wrap up? And then my crowd's going to throw in a bonus. I'm giving away, in honor of you, I'm giving away free copies for my audio and ebook for everybody who showed up for the party. Your book helped me get into flow, so thank you. But what do you want to say in conclusion?
Yeah, I just if there's a central point in the Art of Impossible, it's this. After 30 years of watching people go after impossible goals, et cetera, the main lesson in all that period is we are all capable of so much more than we know, flat out. But the more important point is human potential is invisible, especially to ourselves. We only find out what we're capable of by stretching our skills to the utmost again and again and again, right? And to put one final point of emphasis on this, this is such a, like, we are so blind to our potential that literally we don't know what activities we will like or be good at until we do them, even if they're closely related. So I can go to LeBron James and say, Bron, have you ever played lacrosse? No. Do you think you'll like it? Do you think you'll be good at it? The research says he'll have no clue. He cannot diagnose as a professional athlete, best in the world. He cannot look at a neighboring sport and say, I'm going to like this or be good at it until he actually gives it a go and pushes on it on his skill level a little bit. So you really don't know what you're capable of. One thing the research consistently shows is way more than you think you are. So
That's so good. That's so good. Well, Stephen, there's a lot of people who bought the book. I'm going to challenge them on day one, Tuesday, to submit a verified review, because I know that Amazon.
Thank you guys. That would be so nice.
And you aren't the last. This isn't the last time we've seen you. And again, I'm a big fan of all you're doing. Rian's fantastic. He spoke to our.
He's the best. He's the absolute best. Awesome. I got so lucky with him as a partner.
He's on fire, man. And I love his accent, and he's part of Zero to Dangerous, right? I mean,
we just redid it completely. So the new, actually this week we launched the book and the new release of Zero. This is our core flow training. I do part of it. He does part of it. I do the main lectures. He does all the, like, you know, support structure stuff.
Yes.
So you don't just get sick of listening to me. You get, like, his cool Irish accent and his better hair.
He does have good hair. Yeah.
He's got good hair.
That's good. Well, Stephen, thank you so much, my friend. And
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Appreciate it. Thank you guys for buying the book and supporting. I really appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Very cool. Take care. So, folks, there you have it. That was Stephen Kotler. Jill said it, from the UK. He was an ace. I mean, he did fantastic. So listen, folks, everybody, just for showing up today, this is my team's gift to you. We're giving you the audiobook and the ebook free. And if you say, Carrie, I already have a copy, still click the link and we will give you a copy to share with a friend. So Stephen helped me get into flow with the Elixir Project, my book on flow for fiction. And Unhackable, my new book for nonfiction. And whereas Stephen talks about flow, Unhackable is only one third flow. Okay, so we talk about how to create flawless ideas. We talk about how to get into focus and then flow. And so this is a gift now for everybody. If you found value in this, tag a friend, share it. And I want to give away some more gifts as well. We have two more gifts, okay? So we have a signed copy of Rise. If you share this right now, tag it. Say that you shared, and we'll pick a winner. And then we're going to give away two signed copies of Stephen's book called The Future is Faster Than You Think. The future is faster than you think. So those are two signed copies that are going out to anybody who shares. We're going to pick winners. Michael's going to get your address. And then, hold on. Ann's telling me something here. Ann is saying, tell the people for 15. So this is the last chance, folks, for flow for writers. Okay. This is the last chance. The people who want flow for writers, which is normally $4,000. Okay. You're getting it for a free gift if you get 15 copies. And how do you do that? You go to the regular book link and you pull down the drop down menu to 15. And they are going to watch just for our team. They're going to watch just for our team, Igniting Souls Tribe. This is not a public giveaway. Stephen would not do this publicly. So just for this group right now, if you want Flow for Writers, a $4,000 course, you get it free when you get 15 copies. Go to the single book, choose 15, And then boom, they'll look for you and you'll get the flow course. Okay. In addition to that, I want to give away winners. So man, wasn't this fun? This was absolute fun. Lily Robinson is going to get Rise for Superman. Patricia Benedict is going to get The Future is Faster Than You Think. And Susan Woodward is going to get The Future is Faster Than You Think. Okay? So how was that? By coming today, you got an ebook free, an audiobook free. We just gave away 4 signed copies of Stephen books. You're getting a $4,000 course if you get 15 copies, Flow for Writers. If you just get one copy as the pre-order, you get $1,500 in bonuses. Folks, this was great. As I mentioned, Juan says, what happens if I'm not a writer? It's okay. Flow for Writers will help you if you're in creativity, if you're a creative, which I don't know who is not a creative. So it was my blast to bring Stephen on, as I mentioned. Stephen may align with agnosticism and atheism. I align with a person of faith, but I'll tell you what, science, I believe God is the creator of science. So to me, it works perfectly. And you can have a strong faith and a strong flow. And that's where I line up. But other people from other backgrounds, you line up where you line up. So hopefully you were inspired today. And I found it to be absolutely stimulating. How do you claim the bonuses, Susan? Go to the links that we've shared here today, and you can make it happen. Okay. Take care, everybody. We'll see you. And yes, soccer players would absolutely find it helpful. Entrepreneurs, athletes, creatives, authors, anything that you're having to be high performance, you fit, you qualify. Take care, everybody. We'll see you. Oh, Dana said the bonuses are in the email after you buy. So there you go. Right there. That's how you get them. Take care, everybody. We'll see you. Don't forget to sign up for your free copy too. It's a free link, but you got to click the link. Okay. So we'll send it to you immediately. Take care. Be a soul on fire.
Thanks so much for listening to the Igniting Souls podcast. As a subscriber, we challenge you to be more than just a passive listener. Show up, filled up, and become a member of the tribe. Visit us on the web at carrieoberbrunner.com. Remember, the most powerful weapon on earth is the human soul on fire.